Good to be here this morning. Honored to be able to share. Pastor has been taking us through the Sermon on the Mount, and we would continue where he left off last week. He finished at verse 12. I pick up at verse 13 to 20 as our scripture reading this morning, Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how is its saltiness to be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor has brought us through the Beatitudes in verses 1 to 12 in chapter 5. I used to know what the word beatitude meant, but I'm old now, so I don't remember. But I like to think of it this way. The Beatitudes are attitudes that ought to be. They're attitudes that ought to be as followers of Christ. As we move forward in the Sermon on the Mount, we begin to apply these attitudes that ought to be. How? How they change our hearts, how they change our direction, how they change our message, how they ought to be daily in our lives. And our text this morning calls us to the importance of applying these be attitudes. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We want to look at two ways that the be attitudes ought to function in our lives. We are called to be salt, and we're called to be light. There you got it. You can go home lunch early. Be salt, be light. But let's take a look a little deeper. Let's dig into what it means to be salt and light. First, there's some things to note about salt. I don't know about you, but I use salt to make things taste better. Amen. I brought my own because usually I've given them. I'm counting on you this morning, sister. We use salt to make things taste better. Are there some things in this world that leave a bad taste in your mouth? Let's get real. Are there some people who leave a bad taste in your mouth? Shut the back door. Rule number one, don't be them. Don't be the people who leave a bad taste in others' mouths. We should live in such a way that another's day is made better. Their lives are tastier because you entered into them. When I had my kids at home, we had one rule at dinner time. And that is, whatever you put on your plate, you had to eat it. See, I had three boys, and they thought they had to shovel everything on their plate. And then they'd get it on their plate, and they decided it didn't taste good. But they had to eat it. So there was forever on our table a bottle of ketchup. Because, according to some, everything tastes better with ketchup. So if you got a mound of broccoli on there and you didn't like them, you just squished a bunch of ketchup on it, and it made it taste better. Well, I wouldn't assume to rewrite Jesus' words to say, be the ketchup of the world. But what he's saying is where life has gone awry, where it's lost its tastiness, we should be a part of the godly solution. We should be comfort. We should be compassion. We should be joy. We should be the highlight of another's day. We went to Lenexa last Sunday evening to watch my granddaughter play volleyball. And afterward, we went to this little place called Mod Pizza. And everything is made out in the open. It's kind of like the Subway of pizzas. They squish the dough and they send it down the line. And there ought to be about six people working there, but there were about three. And they were doing the best they could. It wasn't that good, but they were doing the best they could. And these poor boys finally got our dinner ready, and Sharon went to pay, and he said, I am so sorry. And Sharon said to him, hey, you guys, considering who you have here, have done a marvelous job, and I think you're just doing spectacular considering what you're doing. That was the first time I saw that kid smile in an hour and a half. Because somebody just encouraged him. Somebody saw what was good and right. Be the salt of the earth. Second, we need to understand what salt was in Jesus' day. Salt was associated with sacrifices that were holy. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. You shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. As salt, we are to make sacrifices holy. Let that roll around your brain a little bit. We are to make the sacrifices holy. Our holiness is rooted in Jesus and our obedience to his direction. Jesus is perfect. Therefore, our holiness, our perfection, is rooted in our connection to Christ. As salt, we are to be his holy sacrifices that are alive. I know where you're at. I'm with you. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what is acceptable and what is perfect. Our salty living, our salty sacrifice, refers to being set aside, being different, being transformed. If you like a modern word that helps you define holy, take this home with you. Weird. You're called to be weird. You heard it right here. Not from your pastor, just from me. You're called to be weird. Not conform to the world. Not to be like the world. Not to be like the culture. But to be transformed into the righteousness that Jesus has brought into your life because he saved your soul. He has brought to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is making changes in your mind, in your life, in the way you live. We can't fit in. We must consistently be transformed. We must be made like Christ every day. People see Christ in you. which is going to make you weird. Be proud of that. Parents, grandparents, when your kids say, "You're weird," say, "Thank you. Jesus made me that way." Don't be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed, making that living sacrifice salty, holy. Salt is also associated with purification or preservation. They salted things like meat and fish to keep it from being rancid or rotten. We are to ensure that what separates us from God doesn't happen in our lives. What separates us from God is distant from our lives. As salt, we must make sure that we are actively killing sin and ending rebellion with God. Which means, to those of you who've battled with addictions, maybe you'll know this saying, we don't feed the beast, we don't play with the beast, we slay the beast. We don't feed the beast, we don't play with the beast, we slay the beast. We must work against any hypocrisy or any compromise in our lives. Because Jesus tells us, salt can be made useless by being diluted. Salt can be made useless by being diluted. So we have to guard against allowing ourselves to becoming more like the world and less like a child of God. Jesus warns about losing our saltiness is clear. We should be careful not to let the purity of walking in holiness be diluted. Let the transformation of that which Jesus is doing in our lives be compromised by our association with the things of this world. We can't let anything in our lives cause our lives to be unstable, unusable, or confusing. Our connection with Christ must be clear. We are to avoid anything that would render our reflection of Christ hypocritical. Those who are salt, y'all, those who are salt, must remain salty. Must remain salty. And guard against anything that would weaken their identity as children of God. Salt daily in order to strive for purity. Be the salt of the earth. We're also called to be light. There are a couple of things you should note about light. As the light of the world, light's job is to scatter darkness. I went to graduate school. Light's job is to scatter darkness. Bring a divine perspective to life. So much talk about faith, we need faith and action to be light. The kingdom of God needs a light of divine direction to help guide our way. We're called to be clear direction to God's pathways. How does God expect us to live? Where does God expect us to live? What are the right ways to go? People ought to be able to look at our lives and see the light and see the path that God has directed for us. There's no such thing as an undercover secret agent Christian. I had a friend who wrote that song, "Secret Agent Christian, Secret Agent Christian," but I tried to get it, and he didn't have a copy of it. There's no such thing as a secret agent Christian. Our lives are to be public so that they're observed by others who don't know the source of life that we have, that we own, that's a part of us. Our lifestyles result in God being glorified by people who get to know God. And they get to know God by the means of our living as conduits of the gospel. Living light. Living out of our transformed life so that others can see and know. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others." Psalm 119. Verse 105, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. We have to consistently walk in the light of God's Word in order to light the path for others. When people see your light, they ought to see the way that they should be going. They should be inspired by your life. Second, our lives should be a light to others, but we have to be appropriate life. Appropriate light. Follow me here. You wouldn't put stadium lights in your refrigerator. Amen. You wouldn't put a nightlight on a fire truck. Your light needs to be appropriate. Sometimes we do light too intense, and we get known as Bible thumpers because our light's too bright. Sometimes our light's too dim, and the message gets lost. And we haven't brightened anything. We have to be appropriate light. People who don't know God are to be shown the glories of Jesus, who's the light of the world. So we have to let your light shine so that they can see your good works. You have to have good works. And they have to be seen. The light of good works in the proper exposure, so they're not blinded by your light or they come on too strong or miss it completely, coming on too timid. The purpose of shining a light is not to put on display our good works, but the light of godliness must produce actions that are good, and those good works redirect people who are alienated from God so they can see and so they can hear and experience and respond to the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. God saves us by his grace alone, to do good works that he has prepared for us, so that the lost in sin can see his grace and good transformation and come to him. So, what's Jesus saying to us this morning? Us good folks from Grace Community Fellowship. Have an attitude that ought to be that changes your heart, your direction, your message, and if I dare add, Rod, your methodology. Change your heart, change your direction, change your message, change your methodology. Jesus said, for I tell you, unless the righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. How important is this? This is important to your entrance to the kingdom of heaven, that your light so shine. Make it easy to see Christ by the way that you live and the proper light that you share. Know your audience. Know who you're with and know how to monitor your light. What? Should I be a spotlight or a nightlight? What is the proper brightness to shine on this situation? How do I know that? The Holy Spirit. Prayer. Father, I see an opportunity here. I need to be light here. How bold do I get? How intense do I get? How bright do I shine? Check in with the Holy Spirit. Be light. Be salt. Be tasty. Be sacrificial. Be pure. It's the only quotable quote I got for you this morning. Make your world more appetizing just for you being in it. Make this world, this life here in Ottawa, make it more appetizing just because you live here. Just because you're a part of it. make life better. Be light. Be enlightening. Be a light attitude. Give light words. Be salt and be light. Godly grace requires that you and I be salt and be light. Being a neighbor. God's called us by way of our pastor. God's called us to be good neighbors, to reach our neighbors. Being a good neighbor requires that we be salt and be light. Christian fellowship. If we have any Christian fellowship in the midst of us, it requires that to one another we be salt and light. The kingdom of God, to be here on earth as it is in heaven, we must be salt and light. So be salt and be light, because Christ is counting on you to make things tastier and make life brighter. Pray with me. Lord, you've given us a word that we need to interpret in our own lives, in our own fellowship. How are we to be salty? How are we to be light? What does that mean in our homes? In our workplaces? At school? What? At church? Where do you need my salt? Where do you need my light? Would you lead us and guide us to those places? Lord, we ask for your inspiration. We ask for your direction. We pray, Father, that you would change our hearts and transform us. We ask, Lord, that you change our direction, that ours be aligned with you. We ask, Lord, that you change our message. And we pray, Father, that you develop our method and make us salt and make us light to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.